In fact, it's designed to look at what they call micro movements or micro motions of the human body. No matter how still you try to be, your body is still moving, whether that's your chest moving with your heart beating or muscles twitching even while you're trying to be as still as possible. It's designed to see those movements and protect the person.
Welcome to the McNaughton McKay Podcast, your electrical connection. Each episode, we meet with an industry expert to tackle real issues in manufacturing. Join your host, Austin Davidson, to get the latest scoop on automation products and solutions.
Today, I'm joined by Chris Heitschu. He's a systems engineer for McNaughton McKay out of our Madison Heights office. And he's going to be helping me walk through some of the options we have for safety devices when it comes to the plant floor and personnel safety. So to kick things off, Chris, could you give us a quick overview of, say, your history with McNaughton McKay and your specialties?
Yeah, thanks, Austin. As you mentioned, I'm a systems engineer in our Madison Heights, Michigan branch. I'm responsible for sensors, safety, and connectivity products and work in our IC group.
Well, you and I share the same role, so at least we'll know what we're talking about, right?
That's a plus.
So I want to kind of start the conversation with, typically, we always suggest when it comes to machine or personnel safety, we always want to do a risk assessment first. And we're not going to really get into that today, but the risk assessment will kind of help us identify what areas we need to mitigate risk and what kind of products we can use in those areas. So let's lead that into just an overall discussion of what are these products? What typically do you see deployed around a machine to help make it safer?
Yeah, typical machine safety products are going to be, you know, your gates and guards, guard locking gate switches, light curtains, safety laser scanners, safety mats, those types of devices.
So some of them physically keep you out of the area and others react when you come into the area, right?
That's exactly it.
Okay, cool. So we're going to maybe not focus so much on the physical guarding or the actual physical interlocking switches today. We're going to focus more on the other side, the safety laser scanners and the light curtain type technology. So typically when we deploy those types of devices, what are we looking for application-wise? What are we guarding? Are there any missteps that we might want to watch out for?
Yeah, oftentimes it's an operator interface type of a cell. Could be a load or an unload or an inspection type of a scenario. Oftentimes you'll see light curtains or the safety scanners or safety mats in these types of applications.
So something where we're essentially waiting for input from whether it's a person or anything else that passes through. And so specifically on the light curtains and the scanners, those are laser-based or optically-based. So those are something that we have to physically see either the receiver that we're looking at or we're getting feedback kind of like how the human eye operates, right? Line of sight. So what kind of issues arise typically with those devices?
Yeah, there's usually contaminants that can cause some nuisance tripping with those types of devices. Things like dust, dirt, water, and other debris, maybe even a bird flying through a facility can trip those devices when you don't want them to.
I do not think I've ever seen a bird flying through trip anything. That's a new one for me, but I will be sure to use that.
Yeah, we have heard that a couple of times.
Interesting. So essentially we would be running into situations where we may have nuisance tripping. And like you said, basically from something we did not anticipate coming into the line of sight of our device. So I know that we have something else now that we can discuss that maybe will help solve this, say, dust or dirt situation. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's from a company called Inspect. They're out of Italy, and they have the world's first safety-rated radar system. It's designed to kind of take the place of, say, light curtains or safety laser scanners, safety mats, those types of devices. But in some instances, it could take the place of a gate or even fencing.
Cool. So I'm guessing the fact that it's radar-based is what differentiates it from, say, the traditional safety laser scanner. And is it that technology that's allowing us to ignore some of the debris?
Absolutely. It's really calibrated to the human body. So the density of, say, dust, dirt, water splashing, or even wood chips in a cutting application, it's able to ignore those on the regular.
Yeah, I think typically what they refer to with radars is a radar cross-section. So I'm assuming that it must be tuned specifically to look at essentially the return you'd get off a person.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got it calibrated just that way. In fact, it's designed to look at what they call micro movements or micro motions of the human body. No matter how still you try to be, your body is still moving, whether that's your chest moving with your heart beating or muscles twitching even while you're trying to be as still as possible. It's designed to see those movements and protect the person.
I believe the way they're able to do that is by using basically the Doppler effect. So people would be familiar with how a car sounds different as it approaches you and then gets further away from you. Essentially, I believe what they're doing is they're processing those micro movements in that same fashion, and it's allowing them to detect if something is not being static. So we have a person that's in the cell. We've picked up the person in the cell. I guess the fact that we're able to see them, even if they're not moving, that's must be part of this novel new technology, right?
Right. The flip side of that, of course, is things that are stationary. Today, with, say, a safety laser scanner, you have to software configure that and kind of draw the pattern of your cell and draw it around, you know, any of those stationary objects. Whereas with the Inspect, it's designed to see motion, but at the same time, it's designed to ignore anything that is stationary. So if you, say, have a building column or the leg of a machine or even a stationary robot, it can ignore those things all while looking for something else that is moving.
So in this sense, say an operator had to enter the cell and they brought something with them, you know, a chair or something, and maybe that chair will not affect the actual robot from doing its job if we're in the robotic cell, and they leave it in there and they physically leave, is that going to be okay, or is that still going to trip?
Yeah, as far as the Inspect system's concerned, that will still be okay. Obviously, if it's in the path of, say, a robot, the system could potentially restart there and crash into the chair at that point.
Sure, but I guess from the side of we're trying to protect the personnel, I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely chair, but we're not so worried if it gets broken, right?
Absolutely. We can replace a chair.
Yes, it's a lot harder to replace a person than a chair. I think we all can agree on that. So we've been using kind of this robotic cell as an example. Is that typically the type of application you've seen this Inspect product used in?
Yeah, we've definitely seen it used in some robot cells. A couple of them were fenceless or partially fenceless. In those instances, we had specific sensors that were able to perform the traditional access detection functionality, where it was facing outward from the cell, and as an operator approached, it could slow the robot down, and then once they reached that safe distance, it would trip the robot and make it stop. The other function that it could perform is the restart prevention function. So we had other sensors in these applications that would face inward on the area that the robot moves. And what we do is you mute those sensors while the robot's functioning. Once somebody approaches and stops the machine, then those sensors can become active and begin looking for the person in the cell and making sure that the robot is not able to start again.
So I guess dialing everything in, we have a device that can pick up people as soon as they come in, and even if they stay as still as possible, you can't fool him. He knows that you're still there, and he's not going to allow the robot to start back up as long as you're in the area, right? That's essentially what you're saying?
Yep, that's 100% correct.
To kind of, I guess, go a step further, this seems like maybe the first actual device I've seen to employ what a lot of manufacturers are pushing as the plant floor of the future, where there's more collaborative spaces, people operating a little bit more in tandem, say with the robots or anything else, rather than there be physical guarding all over the place. I mean, is that what you guys are seeing as well?
Yeah, we hear about that every day. That seems to be the end goal for a lot of manufacturers, is to have these fenceless type of plant floors where people can just move through it in a fluid manner.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I've talked to some robotic experts or robotic engineers who have done this for a long time, and they basically have told me that they don't care how collaborative it seems. They don't want to get anywhere near it. So the technology, I guess, will come first, and then eventually we have some proof of concepts, and maybe people start to get more comfortable. So in terms of actually deploying this, you know, what does a normal system look like?
It basically consists of two main components. You have a controller that would go in, say, your main panel. It would have safety outputs that can tie into the rest of your safety system. Living in the cell area are the actual radar sensors themselves. They get daisy-chained together with M12 cabling that is shielded. One controller can handle up to 6 sensors.
Okay, so we have, say, for the instance that we're able to cover the area with just 6, we could essentially just use one controller, deploy an entire thing. And all this, you may have said it, I might have missed it, but all this we would just feed back from the OSSD outputs to, I'm guessing, another relay if we needed to, or to our safety PLC?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on what the application requires, right? If this was the only safeties on the machine, then that controller could just be your safety relay. If you have some other safeties involved, like an e-stop or light curtains or a gate, you could just tie those solid state outputs back to whatever's controlling the whole system.
Yeah, that seems pretty standard. Well, that's all the questions that I had. Do you have anything else you'd like to discuss before we wrap things up?
Yeah, one other application that we talked about was a little bit different. It wasn't your traditional machine safety type of an application. So since these sensors are looking for humans, what they do really well is ignore things that are stationary. So we did have one unique application where there was product on pallets that was stacked 8 to 10 feet high and multiple pallets stacked in rows. And operators would sometimes need to go down these rows and label something or inspect something. Well, fork truck drivers are unable to move in and out of the cell without being aware of whether or not a person was down there. What we're able to do with this, because it's able to ignore the pallets and it doesn't matter where they get placed, once they stop moving, they can't see them. So we're able to blanket an area and easily detect a person moving in the area and alert the fork truck drivers to the person's presence. So again, not a traditional machine safety application, but something that was very much difficult to solve without this product.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of times, myself included, we focus so much on safety around the machines, but you know, there's other things that you use to keep people safe, whether it's procedures or a hard hat or steel-toe boots. So, you know, there's a lot of things outside of just the machine safety that we need to keep personnel safe. So to wrap things up, if you are employing safety devices around your machines and there's situations where you may have dust, debris, or a product that is causing issues with your laser or optical devices, maybe you should check out the Inspect device. Remember, it is radar-based, and I believe our McNaughton McKay Engineered Solutions groups also have worked on a couple of these applications, and we can help streamline the system for you. So if you have any more questions, please feel free to reach out at podcast@mc-mc.com or contact your local McNaughton McKay account manager. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Austin. I appreciate the time.
Pleasure's all mine. Have a good one.